So I was taken off guard to give a class today. Krishna always has some plans to instigate the atmosphere, or to instigate the consciousness of his devotees. So this is, as we all know, it's a very, very deep and intimate passage of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Gornitai ki jai, which certainly a neophyte devotee like me, it will be an impudent attempt to try to elaborate on such a topic. But nevertheless, this topic is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there is a purpose for this topic to be there in Srila Prabhupada's books. It is not a forbidden topic to enter into it. It's very much a prerogative of the individual devotee to try to study such a topic. I personally, myself, I pass by the topic. I don't really try even to try to understand the deep meaning of it. But nevertheless, when I encounter such a topic, I read it for my own purification. And the purpose is that by hearing of such a topics, one becomes purified from lusty desire by hearing about it. Srila Prabhupada very often quoted that the pastime, the intimate pastimes of the gopis and Krishna, Radha and Krishna, they're meant to destroy this matunya hagara, the matunya hagara is the powerful bondage. Hare Krishna. The powerful bondage that we all have in our heart, chain. Matunya means chain, very powerful chain. That they are tying the conditioned souls into this material world. And what are these chains? The powerful chain of sex life. Matunya Hagara, which is the opposite of Madhurya Ras. You have the highest pleasure in the spiritual world, Madhurya Ras, which is actually meant to give a pleasure to Krishna. And then, as a byproduct, we also enjoy automatically. But it's not really meant for us to enjoy. The Madhurya Ras, it's meant for Krishna to enjoy. We are the enjoyed. The soul is by nature of a female constitution. Either if it is in a Dasya Ras, in Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, or Madhurya Ras, in any of those rasas that we related to Krishna, we are enjoyed by Krishna. Because this is the absolute pinnacle of truth. And there is another other truth. The constitutional position of this jiva and Krishna is that one is the Purusha and one is the enjoyed. That one should not become disappointed and think that what is in for me, what by providing enjoyment to God, How is it possible for me to enjoy? But that's why it's very much something that it cannot be explained, it cannot be narrated or even read, but one has to enter into such a rasa to feel the pleasure by serving Krishna and by giving pleasure to Krishna. These two, they are connected, just like the water and the plant. They have this relationship. Sometimes they're separated, sometimes they're together. They cannot live without each other. The water is like the jiva that gives pleasure to the plant. And that same water united with plant and brings about nourishment and fruits and satisfaction for both. So that's the situation between us and Krishna. So Madhurya Ras is the original pleasure that is experienced on a great, great, infinite feelings by the gopis. And this is actually the only business of Krishna. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. The original Krishna enjoys these activities eternally. And then everything else is done by all the other different Krishnas in his incarnations, expansions, namely the creation that comes about, you know, that Lord Krishna expands himself into Balaram. Balaram, he takes care of all the manifestations and the comfort of the spiritual world, the paraphernalia there, and all the arrangement for Krishna pleasure. But then also Krishna, it's not that he thinks for himself to enjoy and nothing else. He also thinks for the Vaikuntha planets, so Balaram expands himself into Lord Narayan, Sankarshan, and again the Lord, he thinks for the lost souls. Then from Sankarshan, you know, Lord Shiva becomes manifest, and we all know that from the Narayan, that they take care from the spiritual world, then the Vishnu Tattva, they become a manifest to take care of the material world. The three Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Shirak Dakashaya Vishnu, Karana Dakashaya Vishnu. So each one of them has a function. So they're distinguishing themselves a little bit from the original Krishna to try to reach us. So you can see that the comfort of Krishna, the pleasure that Krishna is experiencing with the gopis, is not totally selfish. Still he lives, he has a concern for us. He wants us to be part of it. He wants us to come back to our original position. And that's why all these incarnations, Kshirodaksha Vishnu, who expand himself and brings about so many planets. Is it the Karandakashaya Vishnu or Dakshira? It's the Karandakashaya Vishnu. Just by breathing, then so many planets, they come out of his body. The Chatusloka, the 14 planetary systems, they're all from the body of Krishna. Universes, actually so many universes, they come. And only that, then he expands himself into a Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, who enter in each and every planet and sustain them. And then again, he expands himself into a Kshirodakashaya Vishnu, who enter in every atom, in every living entities, and sustain them as the Paramatma, localized Paramatma. So Krishna is there in the spiritual world, and Krishna is here also with us, trying to wake up the conditioned souls to the from the ignorance to bliss, from this Matunya Hagara to Madhurya Ras. So the verse that is situated on this page, it's a very very nice. All the gopis, all the other gopis help Krishna, help increase the joy of Krishna's pastimes with Radharani. The gopis act as the instruments of their mutual enjoyment. Srimati Radharani is actually the embodiment, of pleasure of Krishna. She is a pleasure, she is happiness personified. In another passage of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Krishna is deprived of happiness if Radharani was not situated within him. Of course, he has the title of Atmaram, but actually he's not Atmaram without Radharani. He cannot be self-satisfied because Radharani is part of him. You cannot separate the two. God is not male and is not female, but is both at the same time. That's why Radha is the female internal potency of the Lord, and Krishna is the Purusha, male potency of his Godhood. So she represents the pleasure potency personified. And even within the heart of the liberated souls and the conditioned souls, wherever, every time we experience a little bit of pleasure, that is caused by Srimati Radharani. And because we are all part of her, part of the Ladini Shakti, potency of Krishna. So this, because she's the original the catalyst principle of the female principle, the origin of all the other gopis and all the women existing in the spiritual world and material world, therefore, there is not a trace of jealousy in her heart. She's the only one who is deprived of jealousy when other gopis, they are with Krishna. Whereas it is said in the previous verse, something that really struck me yesterday from the lecture of Jananivas Prabhu, that yes, jealousy is there, exists in the spiritual world, just like you have it here. Because when you love something or you love someone, you want that thing just for yourself. And it's very hard to share it. Very, very hard. There are things that we possess in our lives that you may share with a friend, with an intimate, even with a guru, but there are things that you cannot share, things that you love very much. Things, you could say your wife or you could say, there are things, you know, which are very, very part of your existence that very difficult. And therefore, the jealousy is from love. So the gopis, when they see that other gopis, they are with Krishna, they feel this jealousy. But Radharani, she's the only one always pushing other gopis towards Krishna. She's the selfless servant of Krishna, because she knows very well, Krishna knows that she's actually the chosen one. She's the best, she's the most beautiful, and she's Therefore, she's feeling secure. And she's a god herself. All the other gopis, they're all manifestations of her. It's just like when you procreate a child and you don't feel to enjoy life. But if you see your child enjoying, then even though you are miserable, but because you see your child enjoying, you feel blissful at the same time. Because that enjoyment is derived through the person that has been created by you. So similarly, Radharani, she's the source of all the gopis. She enjoys very much when the gopis are there with Krishna. Some of the gopis, they occasionally display a beautiful quality that Krishna becomes very attracted and he pays some attention, interest in a particular gopi. And Radharani, she's very prompt. She's the first one to detect what Krishna wants. And she facilitates, she makes sure that that particular gopi is with Krishna. So this is the mood of Srimati Radharani. Is there, is the best servant of Krishna, and is the best servant of all the living entities. When we have a sincere desire to do some selfless service for Krishna, she's actually the first one to detect that sincerity and immediately will connect us with Krishna. She will turn towards Krishna, look, look, that person is trying to do something for you. That devotee of yours displayed some selfless sincerity, is trying to please you. Please accept him. Please take him. He becomes very happy because the happiness of Radharani is the happiness of Krishna and the happiness of the living entities. She wants to see everybody. She's the queen of bhakti. She wants to see everyone engaged into the signs of enjoyment. Because spiritual life means enjoyment. But for those who are under the spell of this matunyahagra, of lusty desire, when we approach a spiritual life, it is an austerity. In the beginning, it's very austere. You have to get up early, take a bath, chant mantras, tolerate so many difficulties with the bodies. But all these things are experienced by the body. And because the body has been in the comfort of lusty desire, lust doesn't just mean sex life, but it means enamored by the material energy, being attached to the body, families, being attached to fructive activities, being attached birth after birth to situations which are related to the body. That's lust. When you walk through the shops, you see something you like very much. I must have it. That's lust. Anything you become attracted to in this material world, that's lust. So that attachment is there in the heart of every living entity from immemorial time. Immemorable, how do you say in English? Time immemorial. And it doesn't go overnight. But slowly, slowly, we dovetail this feeling of attachment to material energy with the service of Krishna. Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate is the only way, by serving the master of the senses. Our senses, they become purified from all these attachments. By reading about these amorous pastimes, our senses, they become purified from lust. By speaking about Krishna, our power of speech becomes purified from prajalpa, offenses, blasphemy. When we use our eyes to see Krishna or to see something spiritual, then our vision becomes purified from all the past visions, material, past visions that we had with the material energy. So this is the secret, dovetail our senses into Krishna service. And it is not that we control our senses like this. It's a very easy process because he is the master of the senses, Rishikesh, Rishikenam. Rishikesh, the master of the senses. So he's the one controlling our senses. It's not that we control them. When I was a brahmachari, I used to force myself to control the senses. But that's not the way. Sometimes independently, we try to disconnect ourselves from the clutches of the modes, the material energy, but without thinking of Krishna. But it won't happen. Very difficult. It's like the analogy of the cobra, a snake. You can control a cobra by holding it by the neck. Yes, you can say he's under control. He won't bite you. But as soon as you leave him, what's going to happen? Then you leave it, he will bite you back, feeling very angry. So the senses are like, if we try to control them, hold them by the neck, go ahead, do this, do that. Get up early, do, you know, there's so many things that we like to do and we force ourselves, but without thinking of Krishna. Then they are under control for a particular time, but then afterwards, as soon as you leave them alone, they'll bite you back more fiercely. They become so angry. We try to control a child, you know, by holding him by the neck. It will just make the person very angry. But, on the other hand, you have the charmer of the snakes. You know, you can control this cobra, the same cobra you can control by mantra. And then when you finish playing, then the snake goes to sleep. It won't bite you. So similarly, it's like that. If we control our senses by Krishna mantra, by devotional service, then they like it. Our senses, they love it. Because that's what they want, really. They want Krishna, Krishna consciousness. And it's only beneficiary. Then when you finish chanting the mantra, the senses, they will not rebel. They're satisfied. And they, you know, the example of the prostitute with Haridas Thakur. You just wait here. He said it to the prostitute, you know, let me finish my rounds. Then I will fulfill and satisfy your desire. So she was controlled by this mantra. Her senses, they became purified just by hearing the mantra from a pure devotee. And when he finished these rounds, Haridas Thakur was an honest man. He didn't cheat her. Well, in the sense he did, but he said, he meant, you know, let me finish my rounds and then I will satisfy you. But because he had a faith in the holy name, he knew that she would be satisfied and pacified. But at the end, Haridas Thakur finished his rounds. What did it happen to the prostitute? She fell asleep. So he could see the senses, they were not anymore demanding union with a pure devotee. So this is the power of Krishna consciousness. Sorry, I don't know where I went. I've been drifted to this. Bhagavad Shri Prabhu was supposed to give class and I was asked on the last notice. But going back to the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, I am not qualified to talk on this matter. I know my heart is very narrow and I'm a neophyte on these topics. But I hope that by reading the translation and the purport, it will have some cooling effect on our consciousness that will induce us to have a glimpse of the real pleasure, the real love between Radha and Krishna. And as it says here in the middle of the purport, I ask myself and all those who are not really understanding properly to please be careful that the word erotic, it doesn't mean the erotic that you find in the dictionary, English dictionary. It doesn't really mean that. It says here, the Queen of Vrindavan Dham are expert artists in evoking erotic sentiments in Krishna. Srimati Radharani, she arranges all the gopis to create such an atmosphere that they feel to give pleasure to Krishna. But one should not misunderstand that these are erotic pleasure, the way we are accustomed to think about. As we have the analogy, Srila Prabhupada gives the analogy that between lust and love, there is a huge difference. They're actually unknown to each other. In the spiritual world, if love is going on, then lust is conspicuous by its absence. In the material world, if there is lust going on, then it's conspicuous, then love is conspicuous by its absence. These two, they cannot be together. So the subject that we are dealing with here is love, pure love. And the lusty desire is not really prominent. There is no trace in the spiritual world of this element. So therefore, the word that Srila Prabhupada used here, erotic, it's gold and it's not copper. They may appear to be similar in color, but we know that the relationship that Krishna enjoys with the gopis, it's actually very sacred. And all the great poets and priests and popes that we have had in this material world, they cannot understand that. Great sages also, they cannot understand. as I said in the beginning, it's something, because God is, what's the first, the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, is the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Pure, Param. That's the one, yeah. Would you like to say the translation, Kali Paripru? Or Gauri Prabhu? The Supreme Pure. And, you know, there is no trace of contamination in Krishna. So his enjoyment is different from our enjoyment. And Karjuna understood that. So these books, they are inviting us to understand also in the same way Arjuna understood, that there is nothing that Krishna does that can create a disturbance. People who are under the spell of envy, a lusty desire, they feel angry when they hear these things. How come, you know, your God has so many wives, so many relationships? And can you imagine, you show this purport to the German Pope in Rome, that this female, you know, they try to arrange some erotic pleasure for God. How is he going to react? Immediately will defute such a statement. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita you find the verse that what is a night for sages is a daylight for materialistic people. And what is daylight for materialist people is a night for sages. So people, they cannot understand.